morning, I'm going to speak on the subject, man shall live by every word. Man shall live by every word. I want you to know before I speak to whom I'm shooting this morning. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help everybody. But I'm this morning basically talking in a preventive type message to those of you who read the Bible, not just to those who don't read the Bible. But I'm talking more than that. I'm talking even more to those who study the Bible and want to do what it says. Now, follow me carefully before I pray and speak. There are people who come to this church and leave, and you never know they came. Their profile is low. They don't get involved. They come and they drift away. But there are people who come to every church in America, every fundamental church in America, who come, become interested, get in the work, become known with the people and loved with the people, who drift into sin. And when I say sin, I'm not talking about any particular sin. It may be a sin of materialism. But by and by, they drift away from the church. Now, the reasons that are given are many. Church is not the same. That somebody would say. All churches have that said about them. But that's not the reason they drift away. They may say, I'm offended, I'm hurt, I'm mad. But that's veneer. That's facade. That's not the reason they drift away. I'm going to put my finger this morning on the reason in an effort to keep you who are close to God, close to God. And to keep you who walk with God, walking with God. Now I want you to follow me very, very carefully as I... You wonder, for example, why Christians drift away? I mean, good Christians. I'm not talking about the fellow never was very zealous anyway. I'm not talking about the fellow that read his Bible because he's supposed to. I'm not talking about the fellow that prayed because he promised he would and because he's obligated to. I'm talking about the fellow who was fervent. And I could write volumes this morning about Christians through these years in the five churches I've pastored who were in the middle of everything. In fact, that's one of the reasons they drifted away. They were in the middle of everything. And high-profile people, like many of you, hundreds of you. And I'm going to tell you why. Do you ever wonder why churches fall? Do you ever wonder why the church was a great soul? I'm talking about Cato Tabernacle in Indianapolis. I'm talking about A.B. Simpson's Tabernacle in New York City. I'm talking about Spurgeon's Place in London. I'm talking about the Paul Ritter Tabernacle. It used to be over here in Chicago. Do you ever wonder why they crumbled? I'm going to tell you this morning. Why sincere people and sincere churches and sincere preachers fall. Father, bless our message this morning, please. Give me the ear and the heart and mind of every person here. Prevent tragedy this morning. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. What does that mean? Look at me now. Everybody write this way. It means this. It means that you're not going to make it a child of God without that. That's exactly what it means. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. And I'm not talking about a word that some preacher teaches to you. I'm talking about a word that you read yourself and investigate yourself. I'm not talking about a proxy kind of Christianity. Now you listen to me. You sailors look right this way now. You listen to me. You are not going to make it as a child of God just because you listen to Christian radio. And you're not going to make it a child of God just because you watch some Christian TV evangelists. And you're not going to make it as a child of God because you have whatever this is, your daily devotionals. I don't even like the word. I like daily Bible, daily prayer, daily walk with God, daily spirit fullness. But because you've got some little daily devotional book, and you turn to October number 12 or 11, whatever day is, and it has a scripture, usually a little part of a scripture, because you don't want too much. And then some sweet little talk, devotional talk, and usually the Lord didn't have anything in mind as to the little devoter put in there. I'm not against devotional books anymore, and I'm against brains and eggs. I just don't like either one myself. I like the Bible. I mean that. I like the Bible. I like the Bible. I like the Bible. I like the Bible. Didn't say man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the TV evangelist. Doesn't say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the radio Bible teacher. Doesn't say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the devotional book. What God's people need more than God's people need this next 10 things in the world is to get acquainted with God's divine book. Everything that God has ever done, God has done it through this book. God spoke and the earth became reality. God spoke and the stars danced in the skies. God spoke and the sun rose in the morning and set in the evening. God spoke and the moon came as the king of the nighttime. God spoke and the mountains lifted themselves above the horizon. God spoke and the trees came like heavenly steeples above an earthly chancel. I'm saying all that God has ever done, God has done through His book. And you're not going to grow a great Christian life apart from this book. And you're not going to grow a great Christian family apart from this book. And you're not going to build a great soul-winning church apart from this book. And you're not going to have a successful life apart from this book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, if that be true, I've got to find an every word Bible. Didn't say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every paragraph that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Doesn't say, but by every thought that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It says by every word that proceedeth. Well, I've got to find every word that God gave. So I've got to find me a Bible that is an every word Bible. And I believe I hold it in my hand right now, an every word Bible. If I didn't have an every word Bible, I couldn't live. Because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. That's one reason why I don't study the Revised Standard Version or the Amplified. I don't need it. But you said it's so much easier to understand. Well, I've got the Holy Spirit lives in here. He wrote the book and He can teach it to me better than any substitute Bibles can. I'm simply saying every word, every word, every word. I've got to find an every word Bible because that's the way I'm going to live. Now, follow me carefully. I'm going to make three statements and talk about 45 minutes about each one. Now, follow me carefully. Very, very carefully. Number one, there are two parts to the Word of God. There are two parts to the Word of God. There is the part that we will call, are you listening? Revelation. And the part that we shall call commandments. Now these are the two parts of the Word of God. Revelation and commandments. Let me explain what I mean. In Romans, for example, we won't turn to it, but in Romans chapters 1 through 11, you have Revelation. In Romans 1:11, it tells you about the great truths of God. The great truths of depravity, justification, sanctification, propitiation, and all the great truths. That's 1 through 11. That's Revelation. Then in chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's the revelation of chapters 1 through 11, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that is commandment. In chapters 1 through 11, he gives you truth. In chapters 12 through 16 and 17, 16 or 17, wrong. 16. He gives you commandment. Now, follow me carefully. God's word is divided into two parts. Revelation, that's truth. Commandment, that's duty or responsibility. For example, in Hebrews, that great book of Hebrews, chapters 1 through 11 deal with the great depths of the doctrines of Christ. I mean the priesthood of the believer. I'm talking about the tabernacle, the temple worship, the sacrifices, and all of the great truths of salvation. Marvelous book, one of the most amazing books and most overlooked books in the entire Bible, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is gift wrapping that wraps all the rest of the Bible in one package and says, here is the Word of God in one little package. It goes back to creation. It goes all the way to the end time. It wraps up the Old Testament priesthood and all of it. Now, in the first 11 chapters of Hebrews, you have revelation. Are you listening? You have revelation. Then in chapter 12 it says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's commandment, you see. And the sin which thus we have said, that's commandment. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's commandment. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's commandment. Now in chapters 1 through 11 of Hebrews, you have the revelation, the truths. And then 12 and forward, you have the commandments. Now, I said, number one, there are two parts of the Word of God, revelation and commandment. Number two, both are necessary to the child of God, even as inhaling and exhaling are necessary to the human body. Even as intake and elimination are a part and necessary to the health of the human body. Now look at me. Some Christians are all wrapped up in the revelation part of the Word of God. They spend their lives gathering God's truths. They spend their lives going deep in the Word of God. They spend their lives learning the things of God, and they gather as if they're collecting stamps or collecting coins. They gather the great truths of the Word of God. But they neglect the commandments of God. And what they're doing is, they're taking one part of the Word of God, but my Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the Father. So this crowd of people, I'm not being unkind, they're here this morning. You do not obey the commandments of God. That is not the part of the Bible that impresses you or entices you. You are concerned about the revelation, the truth of God. And what you're doing is you're not going to make it. You're going to be a casualty. You're going to get mad, leave the church and say you're mad. But that's not the reason. The reason is you are gathering up the doctrines of the Bible, but you're not obeying the commands of the Bible. Now, on the other hand, there's the crowd of Christian people that are busy obeying the commands. But they don't have the truth. They don't have the revelation. They're concerned about the commandments. That's the crowd that goes soul winning but does not read the Bible. That's a crowd that has a bus route but does not live in the book. Now, if you build your life on commandments of the Bible, apart from the revelation of the Bible, then you'll have a house that will have no foundation and will crumble. But if you build your life on the revelation of the Bible and not the commandments of the Bible, you won't have a house to crumble. Now look, you can call it well-rounded Christianity. Call it what you want to call it. But it's a little deeper than that. It's this. Number one, you have got to love the book. You have got to stay in the book. But number two, you've got to stay in all the book. You can't just learn and learn like some theologians do in Christian colleges, dead as last year's Christmas tree. And because what? They learn and 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 they learn, but they don't obey the commandments of God. On the other hand, you've got other people who obey and obey and obey and obey and obey and obey, but never learn the truth of God's Word. Both are necessary. Truth and duty. Jesus said in John 8:32, a passage from which I preached 2 or 3 years ago, He said, ye shall know the truth. Now follow me. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now please hear me. We think that means ye shall know the truth and the knowing of the truth shall set you free. That's not what it says. It does not say the knowing of the truth shall set you free. It says the truth shall set you free. Now you can't do the truth until you know the truth. So what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying ye shall know the truth and the doing of the truth shall set you free. Free for what? Free to get some more truth.
So you hear the truth, learn the truth, obey the truth, learn the truth, obey the truth, learn the truth, obey the truth. But if you keep obeying, obeying, obeying without getting anything in, you're not going to have anything to hold you up. And I'm saying, I believe. You know I believe in soul winning. You know I believe in passing out tracts. I haven't got any abuse at all for this self-styled, deeper life, hypocritical kind of Christianity. Lets the world go to hell, headed for the fires of hell forever. And nobody seems to care. Fool you on that kind of hypocrisy. But I want to say this. You can, if you don't watch it, you can burn yourself out by obeying the commandments and not eating and feasting on the truths. I want to remind you of this, that God gives us more chapters in the Bible of the truth than He gives us commandments to carry the truth. But I want to remind you of this. If you just assemble the truth and do not turn that truth into energy, then there's no need to assemble the truth. There's no need to learn recipes if you don't ever cook. You can't eat a piece of paper, though in some cases it might be better. But can you imagine a woman memorizing recipes, and she says, I tell you what, I've got the recipe book memorized. I can quote it word for word. Well, that doesn't impress me at all. Let's see some proof of the pudding. Better still, let's see the pudding. Yeah, recipe book is only good as it's on the table. But you just grab something, throw it on the table, don't know what you're doing. You won't have anybody well at the table. In fact, you won't have anybody at the table. Now, what I'm saying is this. What God is saying, look, listen, I don't want you to stumble. I don't want, you'll use every kind of excuse in the world. Oh, the church is getting big. That's not your problem. The problem is you're not living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Or so-and-so offended me. Well, in the first place, you're not living with the Word of God, because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, I'm just mad. You can get forgiven for that, like you can get forgiven for drunkenness. No, your problem is, the Word of God has the answer, but you're not living in it. And either you are not reading it and studying it, or you are receiving its revelation and not its commandments, or you are obeying its commandments and not receiving its revelation. Now you listen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how many cookies you bake for the blind or how many cakes you bake for the poor. I don't care how many little bicycles you put together for Christmas or how many cans of sauerkraut and hominy and green beans you take to folks on Thanksgiving. I don't care how sweet your smile is. I don't care how good you are, how kind you are, how loving you are. You're not going to make it without that book. You're not going to do it. Turn the box off and read the book. Now, when you read the book, you've got to be careful to remember there are two parts of it. Revelation and commandment. You must not... Look, let me explain. You know what happened over here in Chicago, North Chicago, about the flood? What happened? Exactly what I'm preaching about. There was not enough avenue to empty that which came in. And good, clean, health, life-giving water backed up because of clogged drains or clogged creeks or clogged rivers backed up. And more was being received than could be given out. And that which was healthy and life-giving water became stagnant, rat-infested, snake-infested, disease-infested, and germ-infested. And American fundamental churches are filled with believers who read the book, 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 and never obey the book. And the living water has backed up. And that's why you've got bitterness in your heart. Bitterness is backed up. Why? Because you are taking the revelation of God, but you are not taking the commandments of God. Let me make a few statements about it. For one to perform duty without a truth behind it will make his duty temporary. For one to learn a truth without its duty will present the coming of no more truth, or prevent the coming of no more truth. Let me illustrate. A Christian man quit standing. He's on the job. He doesn't, when Christmas time comes, he doesn't go to the drinking parties. He doesn't participate in the gambling, football gambling time. They laugh at him, make fun of him. That's okay. He stands alone. But now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, that man quit standing. Got a letter yesterday. A lady said, my husband has gotten now the cable TV with his dirty movies. Won't you get an axe and chop that thing up? You can't control it. Now, wait a minute. This man, one of the best men we have in the church. Well, I thought. What's he done? Gotten his cable TV. Gotten his R-rated movies and so forth. And watching the movies. And other things also. The other things come too. Now, wait a minute. What happened to that fella? I know what happened. He quit standing because he was obeying the commandments of God without knowing the revelation of God. Please listen. You will be able, now follow me carefully, you will be able to live on my convictions just so long. Unless you build beneath convictions, a foundation of truth, you are not going to stand. Every truth in the Bible has connected to it a corresponding duty. God gives no truth without duties attached. God gives no truth without a therefore following. This is truth, therefore do this. He does not say do this without the truth. He does not say take the truth without doing this. It's a package. You can't divide them. They're Siamese twins. Every single truth that God gives has an attached duty with it. You wonder why some preachers get weary? I've seen them. In fact, I'm thinking of a preacher right now. Heard him preach not long ago. There was a time when that preacher stood like a rock of Gibraltar. There was a time when that preacher had convictions of right and wrong like all believers used to have years ago. And I want to say this, you folks that think we're a little narrow-minded. We're not the ones that changed. You have. We're just practicing now what you practiced 25, 30 years ago. But I want to say this. This preacher stood. Now all of a sudden, I'm a legalist because I believe in not killing people. I'm a legalist. You know what happened to him? He obeyed the commandments of the Bible without studying the truths of the Bible. The truth is the foundation. It must be laid before the commandments can be obeyed continually. But the commandments are the purpose of the truth. God doesn't give you any truth in this Bible just so you can enjoy it and have fun in learning. That's one reason why I don't teach many of the types. Brass is a symbol of judgment. Silver is a symbol of redemption. It may be, but the Bible doesn't say so. But what if it is? People like to come and take the Antichrist and chop and figure out what the beast of Daniel 2 stands for and what the leg on the beast stands for and what the foot on the leg stands for and what the toe on the foot stands for and what the nail on the toe stands for and what the polish on the nail stands for. I'm simply saying, and they study it. And listen. Every single truth of God carries with it a commandment. You have the truth without the obedience to the commandments, and you have a truth that will back up and someday be deadly. That's why churches fail. They get more interested in seeking the truth they do and forget the corresponding accompanying commandment, and they just get, pretty soon you got a flood. A flood of what? A flood of truth. And I want to remind you, the flood over there in Chicago was not an overflow of bad, it was an overflow of good. And basically, filth is an overflow of good. Illustration. I believe in soul winning. Now, I don't believe in soul winning because it builds churches. I believe in soul winning because of a truth in the Word of God that God says, go soul winning. I believe in it. I say this to preachers across the country often. If we can build a church someday averaging 30,000 in Sunday school by going soul winning, we'll go soul winning. But if all of a sudden soul winning doesn't work, and we empty these pews by going soul winning, and we don't reach anybody, and someday we run 75 people in Sunday school, I'm still going soul winning. Why? My soul winning and conviction about it is not based upon trying to... We're too success-oriented. We're too success-oriented. Success is not the motivation for serving God. Obedience is the motivation for serving God. If soul winning works to build a great church, or if it destroys the church, I'm still going to do it. Why? Because it's built on the truth of the Word of God, and I believe God's truth says we're supposed to do it. Take the bus ministry. Bus ministry is no novelty here. It's no cute little way to get folks to come to church. You know what it is. It's a way to get rich quick. Because one or two of these kids bring a nickel every Sunday. The day the buses stop rolling, I walk out those doors for the last time. You say, Brother Howes, you being unreasonable. Well, I can be more unreasonable than that. Because those buses aren't rolling today because it is novel or it's a good way to reach people. Those buses are rolling today because I believe the Bible says bring them in. It doesn't say invite them in only. It says bring them in. Bring them in. There is a truth. Bring them in. And the obeying of the commandment is built on that truth. Now, obedience of a commandment not built on truth will not linger. That's why some churches are out of the bus ministry. They got in the bus ministry for success. We got in the bus ministry for obedience. Based on a truth. Illustration. I've been preaching 40 years. I'm sure to many of you it seems like it. I've been preaching 40 years. I'll guarantee you, I'll be preaching as long as I can walk to a pulpit. Why? Because of the truth that I believe God calls men. And I believe that God has called me. And on the basis of that truth, I'm a preacher. I'm not a preacher because I want to blow my stack three times a week. I'm not a preacher because I want to have some influence or power. I'm not a preacher because I like to make speeches. I'm a preacher because God Almighty called me by His Spirit to proclaim His message, and I aim to do it. It's built on the truth. It's not an obeying of a commandment, but without the truth. For 27 years, I've pastored this church. My 28th year. I would have turned back many times if I didn't have one great awareness. The unmistakable truth that God led me here. That's it. Other preachers would have turned back and have turned back for far less. But you say, preacher, why? I'll tell you why. God, 27 years ago, this past summer, God led by His Spirit, Jack Hiles, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. That's the truth. And on that truth, I've stayed. And on that truth, I've obeyed. Illustration. I believe in doing my best. You say, I do too. Well, why do you believe in doing your best? I believe in it because of the truth of the judgment seat. I'll preach about it tonight. There is a truth in the Bible that says I've got to face God someday. There's going to be a judgment seat. I've got to give an account for everything I do. So I do my best. Now, if you do your best because a preacher inspires you to do your best, you'll do your best to get uninspired and quit. Obedience that is based on inspiration will crumble when inspiration goes. Obedience that is based on truth will never crumble. The truth that I must face God. Say, why do you do your best all the time? Why do you go day and night? Why don't you take a day off? Why don't you take a vacation? Why? Say, I know why. Because you like what you do. There are times I don't like what I do.
There are times when I don't want to preach, especially on Monday night when the Cowboys are on TV. But I do it. Do what? Stay home and watch TV. I get the blue flu. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do I do my best? I do my best because of a truth. The truth that I've got to stand before God someday. And there's not a day in my life, never a 24-hour period passes in my life. But what I don't picture Jack Hiles standing before his God and looking in the face of Jesus Christ and looking in those nail-scarred hands and seeing those scars that I must say and looking at his face, not a day ever passes. And because of the truth I must face it, I give my best. But see, here's your problem. You make your decisions on the basis of what you feel inspired to do or what you enjoy doing. But that'll last or the enjoyment is over. That'll last till the inspiration's over. But if you first get the truth, the revelation of God's Word, and then on the basis of that revelation you obey the accompanying commandment of God, then you'll be obeying on the basis of truth, and your duty will be hooked up to truth, and the truth is the foundation, and the foundation will not crumble, and you'll keep on doing the duty. I know a preacher that got so wrapped up in truth, he quit his duty, and the truth quit coming. I know Bible teachers in seminaries and colleges teach the same old stuff year after year after year. Dry as dust. You know why? No new truth ever comes. No new nuggets from God's Word ever comes. You know why? Because God does not send you new truth until you turn the old truth into energy. You shall know the truth. And the doing of the truth shall make you free. Free for what? Free to get some more truth. To do what? To use that truth. To do what? To get some more truth. To use that truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. May I stop to thank God. And if you've been here at this church for all these years, you'll know this is true. And nobody can deny it unless you've got a heart that's totally unreasonable and bitter. You come to church here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night regularly. And you will find that after 27 years plus, God is still revealing to this old preacher truths from this blessed book that are fresh and new and exciting. You know why? Because this old preacher uses the truth he has. I'm not collecting truths. I'm not a truth collector. I'm a truth learner. And then on the backside of that truth, turn it around and you'll say, okay, do this because of what you just learned. You don't do the backside, you don't get any more front side. The backside remains, listen, the commandment on the backside remains facing you until you obey it. When you obey it, truth turns around again. But truth will not turn around again as long as the obedience on the backside is not commanded. Are you listening? Is not commanded or obeyed. I want to say this. There's not one real Bible teacher in the world who's not an evangelist. Because God doesn't send a bundle of truth and later on send a bundle of commandments. God attaches His commandments to His truth. And there's not one single real evangelist in the world who's not a Bible teacher. Because they come in a package. One little illustration, I'm through. I became pastor here 27 years ago, last August 30th. I was different. A little hard to get adjusted. So many different things about me that were different from what you were accustomed to, and many things about you that were different from what I was accustomed to. After I'd been here about 6 months, I hate to use this illustration because the lady got mad and left after this, but it's still a beautiful illustration. I got a letter from a lady, and this is what she said. Dear Pastor Hiles, for 13 months, we've been without a pastor. For 13 months, I've prayed for God to send us His man. She said, I'd pray for a while, dear God, send us a Bible teacher that can teach us the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. And then she said, the next day I'd say, Lord, take that prayer back. Forget that prayer. Send us a red-hot evangelist, somebody that'll be really out to get people saved.
Then she said, I'd say, no, Lord, forget that last prayer. Send us that Bible teacher I prayed for day before yesterday. She said, I'd just vacillate between those two prayers for 13 months. I wanted to learn more Bible, but also wanted to see people saved and see God's power. And she said, I just kept praying, Lord, give us the, no, Lord, give, don't give us a Bible teacher, give us the evangelist. No, Lord, I've got to know the Bible, so give us the Bible teacher. No, Lord, I forget that. I've got to see people saved. Give us the evangelist. And then she closed, one of the sweetest statements ever written to me. She said, and to think, God answered both our prayers in one man. That's the kindest letter I've ever received in all these years. And that's what I want to be. I want to take the truth from this book and learn it and teach it to you. And then I want you and I together to obey that truth so that we may turn and have more fresh truth. The greatest Bible teacher I've ever known was the grandfather of that man sitting right there. And the greatest soul winner I've ever known was the grandfather of that man sitting right there. He kept using the truth, John Rice. He kept using the truth that God gave him. And every time he'd unload and obey the first truth that God gave, God would give him another one. You read my book on the Holy Spirit again. Read it carefully. You'll find things in that book you'll not find in any other book on the Holy Spirit in print. I'd been pastor here over 20 years when God gave me those truths. You know why God gave them to me 20 years after I came? Because by the grace of God, I've been obeying what God told me, the other truths. Read my book on prayer. You'll find truths in that book you will not find in any other book in the world. You say, Brother House, where'd you get those truths? I obeyed the ones ahead. I obeyed the ones ahead. Ask a question, I'm through. Are you living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father? What does this book mean to you? Decoration on the coffee table? Something to put the births and deaths in between the testaments? What does this book mean to you? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That means the genealogies. Rehoboam begat Jeroboam. Jeroboam begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat other fat fellows in the Bible. Every word. That's the genealogies. That's all of it. That's all of it. The exciting part and the unexciting part. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. There it is. There it is right there. There's the answer. Some of you are eating all protein and some all carbohydrate. You're studying the truths, but not obeying the commandments. And others of you are obeying the commandments, but you're not studying the truths. And both of you will one of these days, sooner or later, be a casualty. Father, bless the truth.